And you would think, well, who would be opposed to protecting healthcare workers? And no one's opposed to protecting healthcare workers, but there's costs involved, right?
Welcome to the Built on Results podcast, a series of conversations about the issues, the advocacy, and the wins on behalf of emergency physicians. Dr. Jeff Raybridge is an emergency physician in the Hudson Valley, just outside New York City. He's also president of the New York chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians. Raybridge and his colleagues worked 3 years to pass a law that would address violence in emergency departments across New York State. Their success underscores the importance of persistence and coalitions. This is Episode 18, Never Give Up.
So it's actually been about a three-year effort to finally get something passed, and we've been working at this for a while. And the law is a workplace violence prevention law aimed at healthcare in New York State. And we had a problem in New York, like most of the country has, with violence against healthcare workers. And we were seeing increasing incidents of it in New York. So we wanted to get a law passed that would strengthen the protections for our healthcare workers, our physicians, our nurses, other healthcare workers, particularly in the emergency departments in New York State. So we were successful this year in finally getting a bill passed that the governor did sign, and it will actually go into effect this September. Currently, they're working on regulations for this.
So what's in the law? Can you tell us what it does?
What the law does, it basically does a few things for us. One, it requires all hospitals to create a workplace violence safety and security plan. And in that plan, it has to comply with regulatory agencies like the Joint Commission, CMS, which have a requirement for it. But specifically, this legislation requires those hospitals to involve frontline healthcare workers in that plan. And for our hospitals that have collective bargaining units, such as nursing unions and so forth, they must involve them as well in review and creation of the plan and seek input from all those stakeholders to determine if, you know, the plan meets the needs of the hospital and the healthcare workers. Another thing that it will do for us is that it requires, if you're in a city with a population of a million or more, so basically New York City in our state, you have to have at all times an off-duty police officer or a trained security officer present in the emergency department, which is very important, right, to ensure that there's immediate response available to protect the staff. And if you're not in a population that, if you're outside New York City, then you have to have a trained security officer or off-duty police officer in the hospital available to the emergency department, but positioned such that the emergency department is prioritized for response. So we felt that was a strong piece of the legislation as well. And the final piece of it is that there's internal reporting requirements to the Department of Health regarding incidents of workplace violence. And if the hospital has a high incidence of violence or has a need, the health commissioner can enforce the higher standard, the New York City standard, greater than a million, on any hospital if they feel, in reviewing the data and the reporting, that the hospital needs enhanced security. The commissioner can force that upon those institutions. So we felt that this was, really, not everything you would want, right, but a pretty strong bill.
You said it took 3 years to get the bill passed. Were you running it every year?
Yeah. So the bill never really got out of committee the first couple of years in one of the houses in the assembly because there was opposition. And you would think, well, who would be opposed to protecting healthcare workers? And no one's opposed to protecting healthcare workers, but there's costs involved, right? So, whether that's cost for weapon detection, security guard, hospital associations and other organizations had concerns, about having to implement standards that, maybe cost prohibitive, particularly for smaller, community access or rural access hospitals in the state that may not have the means to be able to provide this. So what was finally successful was we got a coalition together of ourselves and some of the nursing associations in New York, as well as meeting with the hospital associations and getting them on board with what we were proposing to at least, reach an agreement where they could remain neutral on it but and not oppose it. So that's why I say, you don't get everything you want, but you get, what you can get, and then you you know, you come back and negotiate for more. Like, for example, in the future, we'd like to see mandatory weapons detection screening at every hospital, right? But that has a cost to it. And, you know, not every hospital can afford that, you know, right away, especially if they're a very small, you know, critical access hospital. So we'll continue to negotiate those points and discuss with, you know, our counterparts from the Hospital Association and other organizations and, you know, see if we can continue to get stronger legislation passed in the future as we move forward. But I think what made this finally successful was being able to sit down with all the stakeholders and get to a place that everyone could agree on, you know, as a minimum standard.
How bad is the violence in EDs in New York?
Even in the last 6 months, we've seen a shooting in a hospital emergency department in a waiting room in New York, where you know someone tried to attack a security officer with a knife. We've seen you know in New York City a couple incidences of shootings and stabbings in emergency departments or emergency department waiting rooms. You know, so it's a real issue, and unfortunately, you know, in New York we're seeing several significant issues a year. Significant violence involving weapons in our hospitals and emergency departments. And it's interesting in that, you know, in healthcare, there's been this idea that, well, you know, people are sick, they don't feel well, or maybe they have psychological issues and, you know, that's, you know, you got to deal with that when they come in, but we wouldn't tolerate it in any other industry. So, you know, we get on the subway and we see signs that assaulting the subway worker or transit worker is a felony. We wouldn't accept it with flight crews. So, you know, that's been our mantra with legislators is that you don't accept this in any other profession. You know, don't our healthcare workers have the right to be able to come to work and feel safe at work and not face violence and be protected like, you know, all the other sectors are.
The law passed in 2025 and it takes effect this fall, correct?
Yeah, so the law gets passed and then it's tasked, the Department of Health is tasked with developing the regulation that, you know, would basically makes the law work, how the reporting works to the health department, you know, the details of the safety plan. And we've been meeting with and continue to meet with representatives from the governor's office as well as the Department of Health to try and give our input and influence in it. Usually what happens is New York will write what they call a DAL, a Dear Administrator letter, explaining that the regulation is going into effect and what's required and what it means. So we're working with the department to try and help them craft that, to give our input into you know, what the key elements are that should be communicated to the hospital executives as this rolls out.
What's been the reaction from emergency physicians and others now that the bill is law?
We're hearing very positive things. You know, when we talk to our members, they're very pleased that, you know, these protections exist. It's one of the top concerns that we hear from people in healthcare currently, in emergency medicine, is workplace violence and concerns about it. In fact, we just went through the largest nursing strike in New York City history not very long ago, and one of the main issues for the nurses was workplace violence protection. So it's really at the forefront of everyone's mind here. And we're hearing very positive feedback from both doctors and nurses about the legislation, you know, as well as them asking us to, you know, to keep going, to, you know, that to see what else we can get, what other protections we can get for them as we move forward.
What kind of support did you get from ACEP National during the process?
We had a lot of support. So we worked very closely with National, with the, you know, the State Government Affairs Committee and the Federal Government Affairs Committee, as well as, you know, Tony Cirillo has been very supportive of this legislation and has met with us a few times. And as far as data regarding workplace violence, they've been very helpful in providing us, you know, a lot of data and information and talking points that we were able to use. As we met with people to try and get this bill passed, they were there for us in support, as well as keeping us apprised of what other states were doing and what other states were able to get passed for workplace violence protections in their states, and as far as like model legislation to work off of and those type of things.
Do you think your experience could encourage other states looking to do the same thing?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I think, you know, oftentimes when you start this, when we started this a few years ago, you know, you look at it as a daunting project, right? We're never, you know, we have all these people who are going to oppose it. It's hard to get it through, but it's not, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, I feel that this should be encouragement, right? Build your coalition, work towards getting the legislation passed. And, you know, other chapters are here to help you. And, you know, every chapter executive that I've dealt with and chapter leader has been very supportive. If they've been there before us, and whether it's workplace violence or some other issue, most are very happy to share their process, kind of what worked for them, what didn't work, and you know, copies of their model legislation. So I would say it should be encouraging to other chapters to, you know, move forward with workplace violence protections. I think it's one of the most important things we can do for our members. And we're here to help any chapter that, you know, is interested in talking to us.
For the last 18 days, we've featured a different story about the work of ASEP and its chapters. We've talked about advocacy wins and work still underway to make sure you can do your job. You can listen to these conversations and read more about ASEP's work on the issues important to emergency physicians by clicking the links in the show notes of each episode. There's also a website, asep.org/results. You can listen and find this information there as well. Going forward, this is the place to listen for the latest updates about ASEP's advocacy work. Anytime there's a development or a win to share, you'll find it here. The best way to stay up to date is to follow the Built on Results podcast on your favorite podcast player. Apple, Spotify, and Amazon are the top channels, but there are more than 150, so you can take your pick. We're on all of them. Thank you for listening to the Built on Results podcast, a production of the American College of Emergency Physicians. We're back every time there's news to share. Until then, have a great day.